All right. Hello again. So, obviously, as we've talked about a couple of times, we're starting a new series today called Love. And so, obviously, February is the commercial love month, right? You get bombarded with... It's amazing to me how many new products come out every single year, all revolving around love. There are companies that... I'm not even sure how they do this, but they ship, like, frozen fruits, like berries and chocolate-covered berries. Like, I don't know how that stuff doesn't melt. It's impressive. But so what we've done is we've commercialized love, right? And I think we've just got a lot of misconceptions about what love is and what love isn't. And so what we want to do through this series is just kind of set the record straight, like what it is. Because let me just be frank with you. I really don't care, like, you know, where you've been. I don't care what you've been taught, what you've been told, how you were raised. What matters for us as followers of Jesus, the baseline, the foundation, our truth is God's word. And so that's where we need to go for inspiration. That's where we need to go for knowledge. That's where we need to go if we have questions about anything. And love is no different. If you want to know what love is and what love isn't, we go to God's word for that. So that's where we're going to be looking, obviously, right, for some of our ideas as to what love is. What's really cool, we try to do things, you know, different. Like, so anytime you say different, you kind of got to do the different. This church is, you're struggling, but you're different, right? So we try to do things a little bit different. So we decided this was going to be an acronym. And so we'll start with the letter L today and how love is loyal. Love is loyal. And you know what? We're going into our fifth year as a church. We've been here for almost, September 25th will be our five-year anniversary, superversary. Hey! Man, listen, I'm already getting giddy, like a schoolgirl. A junior high school girl. I could probably continue with that one. It would not end well. So very excited. So we've almost been doing this for 5 years, and I don't know that we've ever devoted an entire sermon to the idea of loyalty. And it's just, it's kind of sad. I feel disappointed in myself that we haven't talked about it more than we've talked about it, because there's just so many things to talk about and so many things that are important and pressing. But I think loyalty is something that's just missing in the world that we live in. And here's the thing with love, as before we go, you know, head into loyalty. Love is so important because, I mean, it's like the old expression, it's what makes the world go round, you know? Like, we all need love and have this capacity to give love, and we have these tanks that need to be filled with love. Like, if you know anything about social psychology or social behavior, like, you understand the need to have and receive and give and like, how love is so important for people. You see with children in their development how it affects the rest of their lives if they have or do not have love. And that's what's wrong with a lot of the people in our world. Like, we don't typically just point fingers at people and say, you're wrong for this, you're wrong for that, right? Okay. But if something's wrong, it's okay to talk about it. We've got this perception in the church that you can't say things that, you know, offend people. Jesus was pretty offensive. I don't know if you knew that or not. Jesus, in fact, he was very offensive. Like, he upset a lot of people. And so it's okay if it's truthful, you can do it tactfully and you can speak the truth in love. Huh? Right? And so here's the deal about love. It doesn't matter what your preconceived notions are. It doesn't matter if this is the way that everybody else is doing it. We've got a different standard, and we've got to pursue that standard. We're never perfect. We're always at least striving to get to that end. So that's why love is so important. Jesus even takes it this far. He takes it as far as to say that love is the indicator that we're his followers. Like, he's in John chapter 13, verse 35, it says this: by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you follow me, if you preach really good, if you pray a whole lot, right? If you can quote scripture like nobody's business, right? If you serve at soup kitchens and you know, give to the less privileged, that's how people are going to know that you're my followers. It's not what it says. If you love one another, and that preaches easy, but it lives hard, right? Because here's the fun thing about love. Love isn't always, like, we've got this jacked up and jaded fairy tale notion of what love is, and that's not love. That's not real. That's not reality, Princess Cinderella. It doesn't go down like that. Love is doing it even when you don't feel like doing it. That's why the marriage and divorce rate is so high in the United States. And we're not going to spend time on that. You guys know that. But here's the deal. Like, we go into it with a certain expectation. And when our expectation isn't met, we think that it gives us an out. That's not love. That's a contract. Right? It's just different. And maybe that's the way the world is, but that's not the standard that we're called to live to as followers of Jesus. So by this, by your love, not by your preaching, not by your praying, not by your knowledge, not by your wisdom, not by your encouragement, but by your love is the way that people will know that we're followers of Jesus. So let's dive into this loyalty thing. So L is for loyalty. Love is loyal. I think the greatest exposition on what love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've been to a wedding in the last 6 months, you heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? And rightfully so. It's such a fantastic, you know, outline of what love is or should be and kind of what our lives should consist of based on that. So for our discussion the next few weeks, we'll be frequenting 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because we can't break the mold, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 say this. It says that love is patient. In fact, we could have just started with this, read these four verses, and left, because it would be sufficient. Like, we've got work to do, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Anybody feeling uncomfortable yet? Because here's the deal. This is the deal. When you read the Bible, you need to let the Bible read you. Don't just read for information. Read for transformation. So when you read this and you realize that that's not where you're at yet, don't let it condemn you or get you down. Let it inspire you to be more than you are. Because that's what Christianity is. We're on a journey. Like, you don't just jump from A to B. Like, you zigzag and work your way up to A or from A to B, right? So read it so that it reads you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It's not easily angered. Parents, it keeps coaches, teachers, positions of authority. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. We could camp right there. Because here's it, and let me talk to the married folk for a minute. If you're bringing up old stuff, that's not love. Like, why don't you focus on the situations at hand so that you can grow and not keep dwelling in the past? Because if you keep repeating what you've been doing, you're not going to be any better than you've been. So love keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then in verse 8, man, this is like the, right? Love never fails. Love never fails. And when I think about those three words, like the summation of that to me, as if you needed to be more succinct than that, right? It's loyalty. Because loyalty never fails. Like, I need people in my life that I know are going to be there in spite of me sometimes, right? I need people in my life that I know are going to be there on my good days, and I know they're going to be there on my not so good days. I need people that are there if I'm living up to their standard, or if I'm not living up to their standard, right? And how we are understanding love in our culture and our society is not love, it's conditional love. It's predicated on the circumstances. It's if you do this, then I'll love you. And that's not love. That's not loyalty. There's no component, because this is what loyalty is. Loyalty is doing it even when you don't necessarily agree with the person. It's commitment through the circumstances, not up until the circumstances, right? And we just, as a culture, we don't do a great job of having loyalty. It means if you're a loyal person, it means that you're not flaky, right? You know some of those? You know some of, like, yeah, I'll be there. Don't lie to me, bro. You're not shady. You're not consistent like toothpaste, which is not consistent at all, right? You're not hit or miss, and you're not conditionally consistent. Like, I don't know about you, but I like people that I know are going to be there. This sounds like a slight, but it wasn't. It was a compliment. In fact, it may have been the highest compliment. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I was like, you know what? You're kind of like a dog. You're always there, and you're always loyal, and you're always faithful, and you're always consistent.
I like that.
Right? Man, let us be like that. Like, how many of you, if you have dogs, if you have cats, I'm sorry. But if you have dogs, you understand, like, when you get home, man, your dogs are like, oh my gosh. Right? It's like they've never seen you before and they didn't know if they were ever going to see you again. They're so excited. And the level of loyalty and commitment that we get from dogs probably is greater than the level of loyalty we get from each other. Like, if we're just being honest and we're just being truthful. So loyalty is so important to have love and to increase our capacity to love. This is the definition of loyal. It's giving or showing firm and constant support or allegiance to a person or institution. Giving or showing firm and constant. Firm and constant, right? Allegiance. Like, and I think that's such a powerful word because an allegiance is not just like, hey, yeah, I'm with you, you know, like, let's go do this, right? An allegiance is like an alliance. It's a treaty. It's like, I'm with you, thick or thin, hell or high water, death may come, but I'm with you. I just said hell in church. Oops. Like, you know, the other H word, right? So I just think so many people have bought into this fake version of what love is, or they think that they've kind of got this selfish idea of love, that it's what you can get out of a relationship. And that's not love, and it's certainly not loyalty. We see love that's predicated on circumstances. Like, if you have a relationship that's birthed out of circumstances, it's not going to last. It's got to go deeper than that. The roots have to go into the ground. You see love that's based on commitment or emotional commitment. Let me back to commitment. Yeah, that's good, right? What's wrong with that? You see love that's based on an emotional commitment, and the problem with our emotions should be obvious, right? I was thinking, as a matter of fact, I was walking to my bedroom last night. I just finished some stuff up. I was about to go to bed, and I just had this thought. I was like, man, I love my life. My life is so good. And I'm pretty sure at some point yesterday I had the same thought. What the? Wow, my life is so stupid, right? I'm bipolar in my head. And so if I make decisions based on how I feel, I don't make very good decisions, right? We need a baseline. We need a constant. We need to choose to be loyal in spite of our emotions and in spite of how we feel. We see people who are committed or devoted simply based on the return, what they can get out of it. And that's not love, and that's not loyalty. Love is firm and constant. It's unwavering in the face of adversity. It's unwavering in the faith. Because here's the deal. We talked about this a couple weeks ago with honor and how God, in spite of us, honored us, right? And all we do, this Christianity can be so simple or it can be so hard. We either, A, allow God to work in us or and through us, and we do a really good job, or B, we just kind of hoard it all to ourselves and we don't share what it is that God is doing for us and in us with anybody else. And we're not doing a very good job. Because it's pretty clear if you see scripture that you are the light of the world. And Jesus goes on to say, do you put, if you got a lamp in your house, do you light a lamp and throw a blanket over it? No, you put it in a place of prominence so it illuminates the room. And he's like, that's you. Like, I'm lighting you up. I'm working on the inside of you. I'm changing your heart. And your responsibility is to pay that forward and to share it with other people. And so, I don't know how we got on that. Oh, yeah. Love is unwavering in the face of adversity. That's why I have notes. Otherwise, God knows where we would be and what we would be talking about. So love is showing support even when you don't have anything to gain from it. Like, we've got to get outside or away from this selfish idea of relationships and love that it's what we get out of it. Sometimes love and loyalty is giving even when it means like you give sacrificially. And you give when it's not comfortable for you, it's not advantageous for you. Sometimes it's giving and sacrificing to somebody else for the sake of loyalty and for the sake of love. And I think that there are some great examples of this in the Bible. There are a lot of verses that we could look at, but I don't know if there's any better than the story of a guy named David and a guy named Jonathan. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you've heard this story. So our next point is simply loyalty in action. I was thinking about loyalty with skin on, but that just sounds weird. Right. So loyalty in action. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. So if you remember David is the David that slayed Goliath, right? He's the guy that wasn't very, apparently wasn't all that awesome in everybody else's eyes, but was awesome enough in God's eyes that he chose him to do some really, really incredible things. And so David, young guy, goes and fights Goliath, who was massive. He was gargantuan. He was a giant, right? So that's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, right after that, is kind of after that, Saul, who was the king, he's like, hey, who's the dude that, you know, I can imagine that Saul was expecting some great and mighty warrior was the one that who had killed the giant, and he come to find out it was, you know, a shepherd boy named David. And so Saul invites David into his palace, his kingdom, and essentially assigns him a position, which that's a pretty good promotion, right? You go from watching sheep to being in the king's palace. And that's where David finds himself, and that's where we'll start our story in chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. It says this: as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, who was Saul's son, was knit. Listen to the language of this. Like, we read these ridiculous novels, and we have all of these, you know, crazy romance ideas of what love is, and we're like, oh, it just sounds so beautiful. Just go here. Like, look at this, and this is real love. It's not some of this fake, faux romantic, you know, garbage. Anyway, it's just funny. When I walk down the aisles of a bookstore, I'm like, people buy this? You bought it, didn't you? Okay. So, as soon as he had finished, as soon as David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I don't think we love like that, right? Like I'm so much better at pushing people away than I am at inviting them in and welcoming them in. If you go to the gym, I just heard about this relatively recently ago. There's these new ideas. People are always coming up with new ways to work out. And I'm like, basically, man, you're doing the same thing. You're just calling it something different, right? And so now they started grouping your exercises differently. One day you'll have a push day, and one day you'll have a pull day. And so essentially your exercises, these are anything you push is a push exercise. Anything you pull towards you is a pull exercise. And I was just thinking about that and how much stronger I am at pushing than I am pulling. And I was thinking about my life. It's a lot easier for me to push people away than it is to pull people in and embrace them. And when I read the language of how Jonathan felt about David, I'm like, man, that's brave. That is courageous. You are vulnerable when you open yourself up to that level. So it says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. He gave him a position in the kingdom. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David. Remember, we talked about covenants a few weeks ago and how powerful. That's so much more than just an agreement or a contract. It's deeper than that. So Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Re-emphasizing that, right? Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David. He gave him the shirt off of his back, gave him his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. Now, let's stop for just a second. If Saul is the king and Jonathan is his son, that makes Jonathan the prince, right? So Jonathan the prince, who's in a position of great authority and a position of great power, is humbling himself in this friendship, and he's being committed and loyal. Even though he doesn't have to do any of this. And there's more to that we'll come back to. So David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. He made him the general of his army. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of all of Saul's servants. So that's kind of the backstory. Saul sees what David did with Goliath, promotes him to this position. His son, Jonathan, meets David. They become become instantaneous friends. And they have this connection, this friendship, this relationship, this love for each other that's deep, that's loyal, that's committed. And you get to see that commitment tested a few chapters later. In verse 20, or in chapter 20, Saul was pretty jealous of the success of David. So you have this king who promoted a general. Now the general's doing really well, and the king is very jealous of the success of David. So Saul gets upset, and he starts trying to kill David. Can you imagine? You're like, hey, mom, I got a new job. My boss is trying to kill me. Right? Like, that's essentially what was going on with David. So Saul starts trying to kill David. He's looking for opportunities to do that. And his son Jonathan is his best friend. Talk about a soap opera. Like, make a movie about that.
I thought it would be good.
Apparently, I'm the only one in the theater. So Jonathan and David, their love and their loyalty for each other gets tested through all of that. And there's this crazy story, you can read it yourself, where Saul kind of confirms to Jonathan, that's his plan, that's what he wants to do. He's trying to kill David. And so Saul sees that Jonathan's commitment is even greater to his friend than it is to him, because, you know, his dad's a kook, he's crazy, right? So in verse 42 of chapter 20, it says this, Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever, right? Love is firm, love is constant. It's not predicated on the circumstances, it's not based on the conditions. It's through all of that forever, at least as long as we're going to be friends or as long as we're going to be in this relationship. That's my commitment to you, is that I'm going to be there and I will be loyal to you. So you see this commitment reconfirmed in them. And it says, David left and Jonathan went back to the town. So you see the language, like we talked about, is so beautiful and it so accurately describes what was going on. But I think that you have to consider what Jonathan was given up in order to be the friend of David, right? He was essentially trading in his rights and future as the king of Israel, because in the, you know, those days it was very hierarchical. Is that, you know what I'm saying, right? And so the king would pass it on to his firstborn son. Saul was the firstborn son, or Jonathan was the firstborn son of Saul, so he would clearly be the heir to the throne. And so Jonathan was trading that in for the sake of love, for the sake of, he had made a commitment to David that I'm gonna be your friend regardless of what comes, regardless of what it costs me. And man, if we had that level of love and commitment in our lives, it would change the world. It would absolutely change the world. And you know what's really cool? If you kind of, it's so cool to have, you can fly at 30,000 feet and see everything. When you get to see the Old Testament and the New Testament side by side, when Jonathan told David, I love you as I love my own soul, Jesus, fast forward to the New Testament, told us that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. Like, Jonathan got it. Like, that was it. And Jesus, I think, builds on this idea of what love is, and love is so loyal. In fact, it's so loyal, like, your commitment to yourself is the same kind of commitment that you should have to other people. And I just think it's so cool. And if we could get that, man, that's loyalty. That's the love that we should aspire to have. So what does this look like for us? It's great to talk about Jonathan. It's great to talk about David, but they're dead. I don't know if you know that or not, right? They're dead. What are we going to do with it? We're going to take a drink. That's what we're going to do. I heard an expression. We're going to wrap up. I love phrases, things that are catchy that just kind of go with you and they stick with you. And there's this expression that you've probably heard before, and it's loyal to a fault. Have you ever heard of that? Loyal to a fault. And I think maybe there are some conditions or cases where that is true, but I think by and large, that's out of place for us as followers of Jesus. Like, can you really be too loyal? Can you really be too committed to each other? Can you really be so committed? Oh man, this is to a fault, right? I don't think any of us really crossed that line. In fact, I would be willing to say that Jesus was loyal to a fault. He was so loyal, in fact, it cost him his life. And he willingly gave that for us, right? Let's just think about the condition that we were in. We were disloyal to God. And in his love, he was still loyal. He chose to be loyal to us. Just if you think about some of the verses and our strained relationship with God and where we were and the fact that he chose to love us anyway. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Excuse me. You've all heard this one. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like, that's the condition that we were in. We were disloyal. And in spite of that, God still chose to give us his love, to be loyal to us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, once you were alienated, you were disconnected, you were separated from God, and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But in spite of all of that, you know, just look at the totality of Scripture and you see that God loved us anyway, and he loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. John 3:16, you know, we're all relatively familiar with that one, right? It's just amazing how you see these things thrown out there, but sometimes we just forget. Sometimes I think we're so much smarter than we are, right? Sometimes I think we know things, but we don't know things. Like, we've got this intellectual understanding, but it hasn't affected our hearts and the way that we live. And it doesn't do any good if it's in your head, if it's not in your heart. You've got to let it seep down into your heart and change who you are, change the way that you think, change the way that you love, and change the way that you treat other people. So that's where we were without Jesus. Jesus, in spite of us, in spite of our disloyalty, chose to be loving and chose to be loyal toward us. And so it kind of comes back to what we alluded to earlier. Christianity can be really easy or it can be really hard. Are you going to allow what it is that's been done in you and through you and for you to go through you? Or are you going to kind of hoard it for yourself? I am not convinced that you can be a Christian, that you can be in a relationship with God, that you can be in a church, and every single week you're supposed to be growing and changing, and like, this is the goal. I just don't think that you can go to church every week and be in a relationship with God like that and not change. I was talking to somebody last night about this, and there was an old guy that's in authority over his life, and he's kind of a jerk, and he's just mean, but he's supposed to be a Christian. And so the kid was he was struggling with it. He was like, I don't understand. Like, he's mean, and he yells at me, and he's a jerk, and there's no reason. And I've tried to talk to him, and I can't get through to him. And he's like, it confuses me so much because he's supposed to be a Christian. And I'm like, you know, I could call myself a cheeseburger, but that doesn't make me a cheeseburger. But what do I know, right? And so I think that if we're in this thing, we're going to change and we're going to grow. And so I don't know where we got off on that. So the point, the highest calling for us as followers of Jesus is to be Christ-like, right? It's to be a Christian. That's what Christianity is. That's what to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And I think that Jesus was loyal to a fault. And I think it's okay for us to be loyal in the eyes of the world to a fault. It's okay to be committed even when other people would walk out the door. It's okay to be committed even if it's inconvenient for you, right? There are a couple of ways based on the verse in John chapter 13 that I think this plays out for us. The first one is outside of the four walls of the church. I hate to even do that because we've just got a messed up idea of what church is. Like, a lot of times we think church is a building, and then the people that think that the church is not the building don't ever come to the building because they're selfish. But, you know, hey, right? We'll do a series on that. We got it. So one version says this. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So there's an idea that there are people who are outside of the one another, right? Your love for one another will prove to the world, prove to those that are outside, that you belong to me. I think we have a responsibility as the followers of Jesus to prove to the world that we're his followers. We've got a responsibility. In fact, this is what's so cool, is that you have a direct responsibility and opportunity to be a reflection of who Jesus is to people that don't know him. Like, that's what we are. Like, and as we are loving towards them, and we're loyal to them, all we're doing is doing what Jesus did for us. Like, we're showing them this fantastic picture of the gospel when we're loving towards people that can't offer anything to us in return, or they don't have anything to give us back for our love, or we're loyal even when somebody else says that we shouldn't be loyal, right? That's essentially what the gospel is. That's what Jesus did for us. His loyalty to us was not in because of our conditions or because of how good we are or anything like that. So what we do is, when we're loyal and we show love, we're just showing people who God is and how he feels about them. Because there have been a lot of kind of misrepresentations in that regard. Because the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? The people who stand at funerals and pickets and tell people they're going to hell, those are the ones that are representing Jesus. How about we give them the other side of the equation? Right? How about we show him who we think he really is? What do I know? Man, I thought you guys would be more excited about that one, but it's cool. It's simply a reflection of the way that God treats us. So hold up the mirror, right? And let that reflection go to other people. We should do our best to pay that forward. So that's one part of it. We should show love and loyal love to those that are outside. But we get to practice what we preach. Here, you practice here what you preach out there. And if we don't have it right here, It doesn't matter what we do out there, right? This church, our families, our communities, if we don't have love in this, and you see this sometimes, and it's so heartbreaking. You see people who put on a front outside, but their life is jacked up. It's messed up. And they don't have the humility to admit that they need help or they've got a problem, right? Who cares if you've got a massive and successful group of friends or a building or a church or an organization if your family's falling apart, right? Like, get this right first. Get the inside part right first. You get to practice here what you preach out there. It's so important to have the kind of love and commitment to each other that's it's honoring to God, and it kind of draws other people in. And I was thinking about a phrase that would sum this up, and this is all stuff that we've heard before. I think our commitment to each other, the one another, those that are inside, should be fiercely loyal. Fierce, not just loyal. Not just, I'm with you, what do you need, I'm your homie, right? But fiercely loyal. Just think about the difference that makes. Think about the difference that makes in our friendships. Think about the difference that makes in our relationships. Think about the difference that makes in our marriages. It's not I'm committed-ish. It's I'm committed regardless. I'm committed. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you don't meet my expectations. It doesn't matter what other people outside of our relationship say. I'm fiercely loyal to you. And I think there's a group of, man, we get in so much trouble playing sports. Sports just bring out the devil in dudes. But you know, we've had some wins and we've had some losses, right? As far as our representing Jesus. Church league is the worst, my gosh. And so, yeah. And so anyway, I'll be really quick with this. We had a situation we did not handle very well. Nobody got in a fight. Close, nobody. But it was their fault. It wasn't me, it wasn't the pastor, right? And so it was really cool after all of that, even though the situation, the circumstances weren't what we wished they would be, one of the guys said this, and I was like, man, that's so true. He's like, I've never felt more committed to a group of people than I was to that group, right? I've never felt more strongly and loyally or more loyal about a group of people, even though the circumstances weren't the best, even though the conditions weren't everything that we wanted to be, we were committed to each other. It was a fiercely loyal love and almost to a fault, right? Because I don't know about you, man, you can say what you want about me. You can, you know, I've got thick skin, I think, for the most part. But you start messing with my people. I go crazy. One time we were at youth camp. You were student pastors. I promise I'm wrapping up with this story. We were student pastors, and one of the girls that was with us, she was like 14, 15. It was her birthday, right? Big deal. All of her friends are there. We're all having a good time. They bring out a cake, they're lighting the candles, and some kids from another church, not my church. They were outside, right? For context, they started throwing ice at the table that we were in. This is a 15, 16-year-old kid. Here I am, a grown man, supposedly. And I just flipped out. I jumped across the table, was running across chairs to get across the cafeteria. And I don't know what happened. At any rate, he stopped throwing ice. And nobody went to jail. Praise God. And I just think that's a crazy story, but I think it kind of gives us an idea, maybe. Don't go do anything stupid, like don't do as I say, or don't do as I do as I say, right? But I think it's okay to be fiercely loyal to one another, because think about the picture that paints to the people outside of us, that God, in spite of us, is loyal to us. God, in spite of our conditions, is loyal to us. God, in spite of our sin, chose to come to the earth. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 is one of my favorite verses, and you'll hear it over and over, that while we were still sinners, you hadn't figured it out yet, you hadn't cleaned yourself up yet, you hadn't gotten it all together yet, while you were still a sinner, God demonstrated his love for you by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And that's what love is, and that is, there's so much loyalty in that. There's something for us to take away from that and see how we should live our life. So as we leave this place, man, let's be people who love. Let's be people who are loyal to one another and to those that are outside, so that we can influence them, so we can paint this picture of who God is. Amen. let me pray for us. God, we are so thankful for you and for what you've done for us. And God, how in spite of us, you've still shown love to us. God, you don't love us just where we're at, but you love us so much that you don't want us to stay where we're at. God, that you want us to grow, that you want us to change, that you want our hearts and our lives to be transformed by your grace and by your mercy. God, I pray that we do that. God, I pray that every week as we come to this church, that it's just a building block, God, and we're laying a foundation for who it is that you want us to be. God, help us to never get caught up in this stupid idea, this American Christianity, that we're just going through the motions and we have a form of godliness, but we deny its power. Jesus, help us to be different when we leave this place. Every single week, show us the areas of our life that we need to change. Give us a greater capacity for love so that the people in our lives, they see you working in us. We love you so much. It's in your awesome name we pray, and everybody said, amen.